Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 379, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. By Babel streams we sat and wept, for memory still to Zion clung. The winds alone our harp strings swept, that on the drooping willows hung. And what follows? Psalter 379, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 26, beginning with verse 24 through the 8th verse of chapter 27. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger, that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 26, beginning with the 24th verse and the first 8 verses of Acts 27. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, accept these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship of Adriatium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmoni, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh where unto was the city of Lycia. Thus far the scripture reading. Our most merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then thou was granted in this morning hour of another Lord's Day, that we and our dear children, as monuments of thy goodness and of thy patient long-suffering, that the doors of thy house have been opened, and we may place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation, our Lord. May it please thee to grant that humble and soft heart, by the first time and by renewal, that we may become so small, that we may be given to bow so low, that thou may receive thy rightful place, that the luster of thy majesty and of thy glory, that it may shine forth, O Lord. Then thou wast not dealt according to our sins and our transgressions. Thou wast done the opposite, that even in the midst of trials, difficulties, they can be so manifold, and they can be so overwhelming, that thou hast showered us with many blessings. And Lord, a sad and a solemn week for our denomination, for him who has stood on the pulpit for so many years with the talents which thou hast entrusted unto him, has labored in the midst of the churches and in the midst of denomination, and on account of transgression, then in the past week he was deposed from the office of the ministry. O Lord, wilt thou remember him in his old age, and that it may be granted as with a David, where we read of him against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, with a prayer to be washed with hyssop. Lord, remember his wife in her weak and frail condition, so frail that she does not recognize and know everything that has transpired also in the past week. We commend unto thee all those involved, all those affected. We commend unto thee the congregation which has now become vacant, not on account of death, and not because of the acceptance of a call, but solemn circumstances. Wilt thou uphold and remember the consistory, the congregation, young and old, with their many questions and with their many riddles. Do remember our denomination, Lord. May the prayers be multiplied for us and our children. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to learn that we have no strength. That proud man needs to learn by the first time, and each time by renewal, that we have no strength of ourself. There is a people upon the earth that learn, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation revealed in the last time. O Lord, we live in a time where there are so many temptations. Do work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit. Then we commend in a special way unto thee the graduates who have come to a special milestone in this past week, where they were allowed and privileged to graduate from our Christian school. Do take them by heart and by hand. May thy word be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, Lord, by thy Spirit. Do grant them, thou knowest what liveth in all of their hearts. Do grant them the tender fear of the Lord, and do bind continually upon their heart as they continue their journey, that they do not know how long their journey shall be. It can so suddenly be cut off, and our journey shall come to an end, and then we are called to appear before our Maker, and then we need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, work then lovingly and irresistibly in their young hearts, and that they may be used, if it may please thee, to become godly mothers in the home, and to be used in church, in school, and in the community, to be a light and to be the salt. Thou wast also granted in the past week that the church worker with his wife and children, that they were officially sent out, and in the day of tomorrow, then they hope to depart for Bolivia. O Lord, go before them as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and with all the mountains. May their eyes be upon thee, upon that greater Zerubbabel, who can make the mountains a plain. May they be carried upon the wings of prayer, and may it be for the purpose of all purposes. But, O Lord, do bless thy holy word amongst us and our dear children, also in this morning hour, that there may be arrows prepared from that never begun eternity, and that shall be shot with power and love in this hour into the hearts of the king's enemies. And then as a wounded soul, they shall be given to us, Lord. What wilt thou have me to do, Lord, when there are those wounded souls that have come up to thy courts in this morning? May it please thee to pour in that heavenly balm of Gilead in those souls for their healing, that they may be given to rejoice. And then it is so needful for thy children that they may be led to the fountain, to the cross of Calvary, where that balm has been merited, and to need thy dear Son as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Lord, wilt thou remember the manifold needs? Do remember the mourning, the sick and afflicted. Bless thy word. Take away everything that could be a hindrance, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 273, the stanzas 3 through 7. O Lord, regard the prayer of those who love the walls of Zion well, whose hearts are heavy for her woes, who sad amid her ruins dwell, and what follows. The extra collection today is for the school, Psalter 273, the stanzas 3 through 7. our beloved congregation. This past week has been a sad and a solemn week for our denomination. Oh, where heavy tidings have reached us that one who was given with the Lord's help has served so many years in the Lord's vineyard in many different capacities with the talents which the Lord has given unto him. And in the past week, that class is east, on account of transgression, was called upon to depose him from his holy office in his high age. And then there can be many different reactions for many, a shock, other ones dismay, other ones discouragement, and for others maybe even anger. Why did it have to happen? Then we do well, congregation, to turn in unto ourselves, and that we may be more a praying people. The petition which Christ has taught his church to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And what I read in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, whosoever thinketh that he standeth, let him take heed that he do not fall. Oh, then the church is given to learn that we need to be kept. And Peter, oh, he has learned it through trials and difficult ways. Then I read in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time, then young and old, and then on our journey to eternity, and then how necessary that we have that close life at the throne of grace, concerning ourselves, concerning the family circle, concerning young and old. Then on Friday, then there were graduates that may come to a special milestone on life's journey. And then they have chosen a special text in graduates, but may it be for all of us if that text were more imprinted upon our minds and upon our hearts, then we would have a life more conformable to the holy word of God. Because we read in Colossians 3 verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We read of Reverend John Newton that in October of the year 1872, that he has stood at the port Deptford, and then a beautiful ship that was built. Oh, it was sound. It was well built, painted beautifully, that it was launched into the sea, and where there was great rejoicing. And then Reverend John Newton, then he has written that suddenly much sadness came over him. because it was impressed that that beautiful ship would soon be sent on the large ocean where there would be many storms, many hazards, pirates, and many dangers. That that ship perhaps would return weather-beaten, and perhaps that it would not return at all. And then he thought of his adopted daughter of 13 years old, and then he has written a letter to her with those thoughts of that ship. And then he could write to that daughter that that daughter has given unto father and mother much comfort. I hope boys and girls and young people, that may also be said of you. But then he has written a touching letter to that daughter when he thought about that ship and the many dangers. Then already in that time, he has spoken of a world of so many dangers, of so many temptations. But then he has written that she must seek the Lord while he may be found in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we hope to consider a journey. Our text words can be found in Acts 27, the first 8 verses, and we shall read the verses 1 and 2a. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, and they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched. Our text words speak of Paul the prisoner commencing his journey to Rome with 4 thoughts. In the first place, a determined destination. Secondly, merciful providences. Thirdly, contrary winds. And in the fourth place, a fair haven. Paul, the prisoner, commencing his journey to Rome, a determined destination, as we read in verse 1. Merciful providences, the verses 2 and 3. Contrary winds, the verses 4 through 7. And a fair haven in verse 8, as first, a determined destination. Beloved congregation, we read in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And to that end, Acts 27, a chapter of 44 verses, that describes the long journey of Paul to Rome as a prisoner, more than 2,000 kilometers. And also for Paul, it has become true what I read in Isaiah 55, the verses 8 and 9, that the ways and the thoughts of the Lord are higher and different than our thoughts. The Apostle Paul has already written to the Romans in Romans 1, verse 13, oh, he has heard of that church in Rome that their faith was spoken of throughout the world. What a privilege and a blessing that is, congregation, when that report may go forth, a congregation, boys and girls, young people, men and women, that they are fearing the Lord, and that the Lord is working wonderfully, those further leadings to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, and then that vehement desire has come in the heart of Paul, that he may visit that church to preach the gospel to them. But now what has went so differently cannot be different than also for many in our midst, that our life maybe is going at the moment and has went so different than we desired and thought. Of course, a great blessing when it may be in the way of grace. Ah, that the Lord may place us on that narrow way, because when we consider the journey of Paul from Caesarea to Rome, then there is much instruction concerning the providence of God, but also much instruction in the way of grace, what the Spirit teaches His people, that they are saved by grace alone, without the works of the law. And now we are all on a journey, and we have set a determined destination. Graduates, have you thought about it this week? About your life and where your journey is to? Great blessing spared hitherto. We know that the young can also be taken away. But we are all on a journey. And that journey, that shall come to an end. And then we are called upon to appear before our Maker. And there are two ways. Of course, there are many ways to hell, but there's only one way to heaven, the work of a triune God. And now, after the third missionary journey, Paul has returned to Jerusalem, was arrested in the temple in Acts 23 because of a plot of the Jews. Because Christ has said, they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. And then Lysias, the chief captain, has had 400 foot soldiers and 70 on horses, and they have taken Paul to Caesarea. In chapter 24, then the high priest and certain leaders have come to Caesarea to accuse Paul. And then in chapter 25, then Felix has been deposed. Festus has come in his place. And then by renewal he was examined. And then Festus, to please the Jews, then has asked Paul whether he was willing to return to Jerusalem. But Paul knew, humanly speaking, that would be a sure death, and therefore Paul has appealed to Caesar. And then in chapter 26, then King Agrippa, a governor of another province, then King Agrippa was the sister of Drusilla, the wife, the unlawful wife of Felix. And then I think we know those solemn words. Maybe graduates, have you maybe done the same in the past years? What you had impressions, hope that the word has had some effect. And have you then said with the Felix to the Lord, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will seek for thee. And we never read that Felix was converted. And then Festus, King Festus, had a difficulty. He had to send Paul to Caesar. But then a letter was required telling what Paul had done wrong. So he has discussed it with King Agrippa, and Agrippa and Bernice also had a desire to hear. And then we have heard it that Agrippa has also spoken solemn words. Maybe there have been times in our life that we have come as far as King Agrippa. Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But an almost Christian congregation, that is too short. We must become a Christian all the way by the grace of God. And now in our chapter, in our text words, since Paul has appealed to Caesar, he has begun that journey to Rome with a promise. Because in Acts 23, under persecution, then the Lord has spoken to Paul. Acts 23, verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me in Rome. Thus Paul has appealed to Caesar with a promise that he would appear before Caesar. Oh, what a promise is in God's word. For the people of God. But it is the general way of the Lord that promises that they are tried deeply. Goes through the impossibility. And in that way, the child learns much. Oh, how necessary and precious in those ways of trials and in the time of waiting that they need Christ as their prophet, priest, and king. Thus Paul, on a journey to Rome with an appeal. What a picture of us and our children, older ones at least. Then we are also traveling a journey to eternity, not before the Caesar of Rome, but before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what appeals are they? When we have made an oath in God's house, then we appeal to the Lord, his attributes. The Lord has heard it. If we mock with those appeals, take it lightly, that the Lord shall punish us, and otherwise that the Lord shall bless us. Do you think of those appeals? How is it? Older ones, confession of faith, marriage, baptism, office bearers, with our oaths. We are like Paul on a journey to a certain destination. And then should it not be our greatest concern? Do you think about that often, boys and girls, young people, and older ones? Because for our older ones, then the end cannot be so far off. Do you think oftentimes of your destination? Where is your destination at this moment, congregation? Oh, then, the unconverted. What a solemn thought on that broad way to hell. But we are still in the precious day of grace. Oh, may we be given. Oh, it shows how deeply we have fallen. That we can live so easy in our death state on that broad way. Maybe not even troubled and maybe not even frightened. But there is a people where that wonder has taken place. Blessed those children when the Lord may begin early. But they have another destination. Oh, many storms, many impossibilities for the true child of God. That shall be the wonder at last, when they may arrive safely home. Thus our text words that speak of Paul with other prisoners, a captain that they have set off from Caesarea, a port on the Mediterranean Sea, and they have begun their journey to Rome. And when we consider that ship of our text, then we can draw many lessons to our life. And boys and girls, if you now listen well, then you can tell your parents how we can compare our life to a ship in the waters sailing to a certain destination. Then in the first place, then a ship that sails on the waters. And the sea and the waters in the scripture in different places, that is a picture of the nations of the earth. And now such a ship that always has a captain to steer that ship. And then we must examine ourselves with our ship, journeying through this world to eternity. Who is now our captain? And there are two kings and two kingdoms. Who was our captain, young and old? Have we now made that good choice? Oh, has it become our prayer, our concern, that it may be the Lord, that it may be Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he may take our little ship, oh Paul, when he has begun that journey with that promise. And it was also for Paul that he has experienced each time by renewal that faith is a gift of God. From ourselves we can bring forth nothing less than that God is honoring unbelief. But then Paul had a promise given by the king. And then Paul, oh, he did not have the Heidelberg Catechism. But then on that journey, with faith and exercise granted by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, then he could declare, "What is thy only comfort in life and death, that I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who through his precious blood is satisfied for all my sins, and so delivered me from the power of the devil, and that without the will of my heavenly Father." Not one hair can fall to the ground. When that may be an exercise, then Paul, then he did not have any fears. Then he was given to look unto the King, who has purchased him with his precious blood. This, boys and girls, you can picture our life. The sea, our little ship, the captain, and then there are people on that ship. And then it is necessary that on such a ship that everyone works together. There's unity, love, a purpose, and then we can speak the family circles, the congregation. We can speak on that ship. We may speak as we read in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, that a threefold cord is not quickly broken on that ship, family, church, and school. Then what else do we need on that ship, boys and girls? Please, you must think along. How does a ship now know which direction to sail? Of course, early days especially, the sun, the moon, and stars. But then they have invented a compass that always points north, so then such a captain would have a sense of direction. And what must now be the compass on our ship? Let me reword it. What is our compass? Our guide to give direction. The final authority, that is the Holy Word of God. Has that word become precious, congregation? Has it become, as I read in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Then further, then on that journey, then many times on the shore, there are lighthouses, give direction, to warn. Then for our little ship, then the Lord grants fathers and mothers, also be an older brother and sister. It's a blessing, brothers and sisters, when you may be a good example for your younger siblings. They look up unto you. Speak of school teachers, office bearers, and then our children can even understand that it would be a very foolish captain to not pay attention to those lighthouses, but that they give earnest heed. Of course, there can be times that it is very foggy and very misty. Those boys and girls, can you already remember some points that you can tell your father and mother how your life resembles a little ship? Then further, then on an ocean, there can come great storms, great waves. We read of such a storm in Psalm 107. Maybe, boys and girls, tonight when you read your Bible, when you go to bed, then you can read from Psalm 107, the verses 23 through 31, where it speaks of a terrible storm that, as it were, they were tossed to and fro as a drunken man at their wits' end. Oh, what a storms there can be, and currents that send the ship the wrong way. The many temptations, Reverend John Newton has spoken of temptations in his time, but that was nothing compared to in our time. Oh, what a storms and what a currents there can be. Then further, for a ship to sail in the day of Paul, then they went by the currents and they went by the wind. And then our boys and children, boys and girls, can understand it would be a very foolish captain and crew when they have prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, wilt thou now guide my little ship? But when they did not put up their sails, that would be very wrong to pray for prosperity and not to put up the sails on that ship. Is that our picture, maybe, congregation? Because those sails, they refer to the means of grace. And it is true. A ship can put up beautiful sails, but if there's no wind, then that ship does not go so far. Thus, what an instruction. Paul on his journey with his ship. That means that traveling to eternity, that we need to use the means of grace diligently. It is mockery when we pray and ask the Lord to convert us, to lead and to guide. And when we are not diligent in putting up our sails, must be pray and work. Then further, our little ship, a ship that sails on water, that is needful for Paul to travel that great distance of more than 2,000 kilometers in a straight line. It was not in such a straight line. Maybe souls in this morning say, that is not my life. We hope to hear more of those matters later. But then it was needful for Paul, for the captain, that there was water to sail on, but not water in the boat. Do you hear, congregation? Christ has prayed in his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou taketh them out of the world, but thou keep them from evil. So our children can understand when water comes into our boat, what shall finally happen with such a ship? Then such a ship shall sink. Do you hear, congregation? We and our children, we are called upon to go through the world. But when the water of the world comes into the church, then the church shall sink. Thus, what a calling and what a responsibility that we and our children have. We may compare it, because a ship in the days of Paul was made of wood, many planks. So then each one of us may consider us as a plank. And those planks, they need to be close together. Because when there is only one leak, even a small leak, that shall sink the ship. Then with the different points, I think boys and girls try to make it simple. You can remember many of them. Then what is so needful for the inhabitant, for a people on that ship? That they are a praying people, not only the young. You have heard of graduates when I addressed you on Friday. Then I included myself and the whole audience. The young, the middle-aged, the elderly. We all need to be kept. Paul, we mention it again. A destination was Rome, to appear before Caesar. How is it with our little ship? Is it a question? Or can we so easily say, I'm unconverted, with the least impression what it is to be unconverted? Are there a few souls? There's a point I long to know. Oft that causes anxious thought, am I thine or am I not? Oh, that people that have been placed on that narrow way, you find them often as beggars at the throne of grace. Oh, they may hear of the way of those ships to that eternal haven of glory. 'Tis declared in God's word. Oh, at times they are given to rejoice with unspeakable joy. They may believe, oh, they have made that good choice. That is not the question. But the Lord has a people upon the earth, further declared in this chapter, that the weight of their sins that brings that little ship so low in the waters. Oh, they learn of the storms of God's wrath. Let us first sing. Psalter 345, the stanzas 1 and 2. To the hills I lift my eyes, when shall help for me arise? From the Lord shall come my aid, who the heaven and earth has made. And what follows, Psalter 345, the two stanzas. Thank you. Our second thought, a merciful providence is. When we consider congregation, the times that we live in, then so many fears can fill our hearts. Fathers and mothers and office bearers, then temptations are so manifold. Satan has but a short time. Then there are so many rocks that we can suffer shipwreck on. The rocks of sin, temptation, and also the rocks of a false religion. But then we do well that oftentimes we are given to pause and to consider the manifold blessings which the Lord has left in our midst, that the Lord yet makes a great difference with us and our children, where there is no difference, because they read in Romans 3, verse 23, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And also for the Apostle Paul, he was a prisoner. He was placed on a ship to appear before the Caesar of the Roman Empire. But then he has experienced yet many special tokens of the Lord's favor. And I read in Psalm 86, verse 17, that the psalmist has prayed, "Show me a token for good." Has that been the prayer in our day? Have we received a little token in the past week? And then for Paul, then in the first place, that he did not have to travel that long journey as a prisoner alone, but that the Lord, in a special and merciful providence, has given on that ship a few companions that have feared the Lord, that have experienced the work of the Lord in their heart. What a comfort that was for Paul. It can be congregation, especially when we are young and the Lord worketh in our hearts, and we are called to go through the world an impression of the wrath of God, what sinners we are, that it can be when we are young boys and girls, when we come, when we go through the world, a place, no, not to visit those worldly places. May we and our children in the summer months, families, there are many beautiful things that we may do. The Lord has given the wonderful creation to watch and to joy, but may we be kept from places of vanity, of wickedness, places where there is so much immodesty. Oh, in earlier days, mixed swimming was not even allowed. But now it can be with those seeking souls, places where they are called to be, that they are given to look, whether there is yet a child of God. And then they are so happy. But now for Paul, then we read that Luke the physician was present. Then you can ask, where do we read that? Then in the first seven verses, then in each verse we read "we" or "us." And it is clear from the first verses of Acts that Luke the physician and that he has written the book of Acts. When we study the scriptures, then Luke has joined Paul on the second missionary journey at Troas with his, when he was examined, then we do not read of Luke, but now on the way to Rome, that Luke may be present, thus a dear child of God and also a physician, if there were bodily needs. And then secondly, we read of Aristarchus, that was the Macedonia of Thessalonica. And then we read that he has joined Paul on the third missionary journey, that he became a fellow prisoner, as we read in Colossians 4, verse 10. Thus, what a merciful providence that Paul may have a few companions that feared the Lord. Oh, the psalmist has said in Psalm 119, verse 63, I am a companion of them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Who are your friends, congregation? Because birds of one kind, they flock together. And when the Lord works, then we make that good choice. So we have to go through the world. But our companions. And further, merciful providences. Then we read of Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. Cornelius in Acts 10, he was of the Italian band. And then it is very clear that Julius the centurion, he was kind toward Paul and had great respect for Paul. This possible is not written that Julius the centurion, whether he was present with the trial, we do not know. This possible that Julius has spoken with Festus and Agrippa. But let us remember what is written in God's word, Proverbs 21, verse 1, that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it as the rivers of water. Thus the special providence of the Lord, and what else? Oh, Paul. He was light. He was salt. Salt of the earth. I read in Acts 4 verse 13. When Peter and John were brought before the council, that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Graduates, can that be seen in your life? I hope so. Then you shall suffer maybe some persecution. But can it be seen that you have attended a Christian school that has formed you, even outwardly, above all the tender fear of the Lord? And now we read of something very special. Can be with the trials, the difficulties of life, that we forget the blessings of the Lord. Because then we read, and the next day we touched at Zidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Thus the captain of the ship, he was responsible for Paul as prisoner. And in the Roman world, such a captain would let the prisoner escape. He would have to pay for his life. but that Julius's heart was inclined, and he had so much respect for Paul that he says, Paul, maybe Paul has said, Zidon, I have some friends, maybe some that were converted under his preaching. And then the captain said, we stop at Zidon. Paul, you may step aboard and you may visit those friends, but you must be back on the ship at a certain time. So what merciful providences. What do you think, boys and girls and young people, if Paul would betray that trust and use that opportunity to escape? Then I think you would immediately say, then what an awful man Paul would be. When Julius has trusted him, gave him the liberty to fear, to visit some of his friends, and then not to return to the ship. I think you can all agree. Oh, may we be kept, my dear young friends, young people, when we become a little older, become a little more independent, and then your parents give you a few more liberties, and they like to trust you. Shall you not betray that trust? But shall you ask the Lord that he may keep you, that you use not those liberties to do vain, wicked, and wrong things? Because how deeply that cuts into the hearts of parents when parents give them some freedoms, trust them, and then they learn that their children have misused that freedoms. What instruction concerned the journey of Paul, the beginning of that journey. You must close for this morning. Oh, soon there would come those contrary winds. But this morning, 2 points. A determined destination. I ask you by renewal, where is your journey to? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers. Oh, ask the Lord. You may become like a Paul, converted by grace. People of God, much instruction. We have spoken much of the providence of the Lord. When we continue that journey, the Lord willing, then we shall find much instruction. We shall mention it already, that on that ship, so much had to go overboard. The Spirit shall teach His people that they are saved by grace and grace alone. Not one work, not one sigh can, must, and need be added. Oh, how necessary to pray much. To be given to experience what we have sung together. Thy protector is the Lord. Help or shade he shall afford. May that be our portion. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may we be given to stop and consider how it is with our little ship on the ocean of this world. It is possible at the moment that the sun is shining, much prosperity, not so many difficulties. It is also possible that the waves are high, cloudy days, cannot see the sun or moon, that our ship is tossed to and fro, all at times afraid, that we shall suffer shipwreck. Above all, may we be given to consider where our journey is to, ach, Lord, apply thy word by thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou take us by heart and by hand? Bless us this Sabbath day. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 274. The stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Before my journey is complete, my vigor fails, my years decline. My God, oh spare me, I entreat. The days of life are wholly thine. The consistory wishes to announce that there will be a midweek service this coming Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 274, the first three stanzas. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.